just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into this terrific Tuesday, April 7th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop, here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us, as usual, in this time slot, Ian Murphy, the owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse over in Gaylord. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Trucker Randy.
Hey, buddy, you sent me a flyer, a picture of a sign. You've got some breaking news to announce here on the radio.
Yeah, we've been working on this project here for a little while, but you know, we have that great venue that sits right next to the Iron Pig there, which we've aptly named the Lakeside Pavilion. We've been working the last 6 to 9 months on putting together a really unique and nice farmer's market for Gaylord. It's not to say that Gaylord doesn't have a farmer's market. They sort of have one downtown on Saturdays. But in my estimation, it's not a true farmer's market. It's a bit more of a vendor's market. And, you know, we're always having these discussions about solar and farmers no longer using their land for farming. That's why they're selling their property or leasing their property to these developers. And the conversation has to be about how do we get back to farming? How do we get restaurants involved in using local farms more instead of the big box sellers like the Cisco's and the Gordon's and stuff like that. So this is all part of that, is bringing together, you know, the Cook family farms, the kitchen farms, the local microgreen people, the local bakers. All of these things we're trying to put together under one roof and have a really nice Thursday starting May 28th, every Thursday from 8 a.m. to about 1 p.m., right next to the Iron Pig under the pavilion is going to be a brand new farmer's market.
Now, I've got a question, because I've seen other farmer's markets do the same thing during the week. Elk Rapids here in Antrim County, I believe Mansalona on 131. But they, too, do it during the middle of the week and usually in the mornings until about noon, 1 o'clock. Well, I'm on the radio 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. Is there any particular reason you guys chose that particular Thursday as opposed to maybe Saturday morning? Or did you not want to compete with what's going on downtown?
That's a great question. So when I say, you know, over the last 6 to 9 months, really what we've been doing is looking at all of the area farmers markets that are around from Boyne, all the way down to Waters in the Grayling area. The Saturday farmers market that was downtown next to the old Iron Pig used to be one of the best farmers markets. Something happened a few years ago and some changes were made, and that's how it kind of turned more into this farmers market. Well, a lot of those Saturday vendors went down to Grayling and over to the Boyne market on Saturday. So we kind of don't want to compete with other farmers markets. But what I would like to do is if this Thursday one becomes popular, which I'm hoping that it does, obviously, we would like to actually try another day as well, but maybe even some evening hours, because I do hear a lot of times that people are at work on a Thursday and right. can't get out even for a lunch break to try and make it over. Right. So that's what we're seeing is there's no evening farmers markets around as well. So maybe that is how we expand, and it probably would be a Saturday afternoon evening type of situation,
or even Thursday, maybe starting it in the afternoon and running it until like maybe 6 or 7 when people are on their way home from work. They can stop and get some fresh, you know, produce and baked goods. Just throwing it out there. So. Lots Absolutely. To talk about with Ian Murphy, the owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse in Gaylord. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Hear ye, hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm, except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Talking with Ian Murphy over at the Iron Pig Smokehouse in Gaylord. And just to make sure, it's called the Lakeside Farm Market. Want to make sure that's the
Correct.
Title?
Yes. The LakesideFarmMarket.com or you can get information at ironpigsmoke.com.
Very good. Excellent. Beginning May 28th. Support local.
May 28th.
Local.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. 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 Hey, also, you sent me the link to this news story. We briefly talked about it last week about the victory up in Sheboygan County. But it was kind of interesting, that news story you sent me, going into the detail of it all and Judge Gauthier's reasoning and some of the questioning that was brought up, some of the people testifying. Pretty interesting news story. Can we talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and I got to be honest, it's probably one of the better articles that has been written about any of this stuff. Real down the middle of the road, not trying to take one side or the other. I mean, very well written.
Sure it was. And it was really interesting because it came from Up North Live. Judge vacates permit for 810-acre solar farm project in Sheboygan County. And I got to tell you, man, that lady who used the AI to show that elderly couple's property, how it is currently right now, and then what it would look like completely being surrounded by those panels. Did that have some major impact on the judge, you think?
Yes and no. And the only reason I say no is if you understand the details of why the judge vacated the application approval, essentially.
Sure.
I mean, so first of all, Judge Gauthier said, if you like your solar ordinance, you can keep your solar ordinance. You don't have to have this ridiculous Lansing five-part test. So the Planning Commission the very next day turned around and wrote a solar ordinance and included a one-year moratorium on AI data centers, wind, solar, and battery. But then they came back. And essentially what happened is when they passed this CREO, that five-part test, the Compatible Renewable Energy Ordinance, they made a very simple but very basic error went throughout the entire process of approving that ordinance, that CREO. And essentially Judge Gauthier said, well, we're going to throw out this application because you no longer have a CREO, because you didn't pass the CREO correctly. And guess what? The Planning Commission in Sheboygan has a solar ordinance that now has a one-year moratorium. So, sorry, EDP, you guys are just out of luck. So, of course, EDP is going to appeal portions of that. But the way that it sits now, a judge has ruled that they don't need the CREO. And the solar ordinance that they passed just a few weeks ago, including the moratorium, basically puts them on the sideline for at least a year, if not a year and a half, given appeals and all these other things that they're going to try and do. So part of the reason why she was so adamant about putting that, and you probably read this, putting that AI picture surrounding that home, that's an 83-year-old man and his wife that live there. And if nobody is going to stand up for that couple, who is going to?
Yeah.
And 19 plaintiffs stood up for this elderly couple that was quite literally, as you saw in that picture, on four sides of their little tiny home up in Sheboygan would be covered with these panels. Mm-hmm. So kudos to everybody up there that took on that fight. And, of course, the great Dave Delaney was the attorney up there. But now we're turning our focus to Otsego. Judge Hunter has said that we, you know, Public Act 233, you know, doesn't exist in Otsego County for some reason, which we're fine with.
Yeah.
So now we're going after the ordinance that Otsego County passed 5 months after the major lease owner signed a lease with RWE here in Gaylord. 5 months later, there's a brand new solar ordinance enacted here in Otsego County. The problem with this ordinance, besides it took 5 months, they're essentially spot zoning, which means spot zoning is you put things where they belong, right? You put a manufacturing facility for gears inside your manufacturing and industrial districts. This solar facility is a industrial scale solar facility, Now, the districts that they created to put solar in include forestry, ag, and residential 3. It does not include any light manufacturing or industrial. And do you want to know why, Trucker Randy? Because if you saw the map, and virtually every county is this way, light industrial, industrial commercial are the smallest districts of any of them. But then you turn to the ag forestry districts, and that is 75 to 80% of our county.
Oh, yeah.
Like those counties, right?
Huge, absolutely huge land masses.
Exactly. So they created this ordinance after leases have been signed in Otsego County, create an ordinance, then they go to the Planning Commission with an application. And in that application, they say, these are the ordinances that we're going to abide by. They don't even mention Public Act 233 in any of this. So they're fine with Otsego County's ordinance. We're not, because it's spot zones. It's allowing an industrial sector in ag and forestry, which there shouldn't be. But it does not allow it in industrial. If anything, these things should be at least allowed in industrial. So that is an equal protection violation and makes Otsego County's solar ordinance unconstitutional.
Unbelievable.
It's quite simple. Yes.
Well, in the
that
thing
will
of it
be
is,
in court for that May.
Now that was my question. With that statement that you just made, and David Delaney, your attorney, going to presenting those arguments to Judge Hunter, do you think because of the previous ruling of his saying Public Act 233 has nothing to do with it, you guys are going at this based on the actual ordinance, which is unconstitutional? I mean, the way you just explained it, he's going to be hard to not agree with Delaney and approve it, or, you know, make another victory for Iron Pig and their attorney.
This is an even more solid argument than what was made up in Sheboygan. And ultimately, you can't call it a technicality in Sheboygan. It really wasn't at all. It was the fact that the judge said, if you like your ordinance, you can keep your ordinance. That's a play on, you know, Obama's Obamacare, right?
Sure.
That's essentially what he said. So Otsego County never had the five-part test like Sheboygan did. They never adopted the CREO. They went out and wrote their own. So the judge saying 233 has no bearing means, okay, Otsego County doesn't have to worry about the five-part test. So now we're going to knock out their solar ordinance that approved the application here in Otsego County. Once he vacates the ordinance as unconstitutional, Otsego County is going to have to decide. Either they're going to adopt a CREO or they're going to redo their ordinance so it's constitutional, right? So it will be in the correct districts. And this is now a conversation that we're having across the state in multiple jurisdictions. Is I'm asking people, does your locality, whether it's a township or a county, do they have a CREO? Do you have an existing ordinance? Is your planning commission or your commissioners in favor of this project or against it? So we're trying to feel out exactly sort of what avenue to take, because a new one just popped up in Midland. The development has been around for a while, but it's an ongoing conversation, and they're doing a fantastic job down there. This is Ingersoll Township in Midland, and this is a DTE development down there as well. So this is the newest one that we're getting involved in. Probably not legally with a lawsuit, more directional as far as the Planning Commission for Midland County is concerned. So we're trying to maybe steer them in the direction that they can protect themselves, because their citizens down there don't want this either. And then Ottawa County, we're ramping up in Ottawa County as well.
Man, you guys are all over the state.
Dude, when we've got a winning formula, it's like the mask mandate situation. We had 15 mask mandate cases, and then when Iron Pig won, within 7 days, every single mask mandate was dropped, and every single mask mandate case was mooted out of court. So this is what we want to duplicate again, is anybody that doesn't want industrial solar in their community or in their backyard, reach out to us. Give us a call. I'm not saying that we can take on a lawsuit for you. David Delaney is only one person. There's only so many hours in a day.
Right.
The idea is to organize, to find maybe an attorney in the Midland area if they need it. Somebody that we can work with and say, listen, we've got three different plans of attack on this thing. Let's find out which one makes the most sense for you. And that's what we've done and started raising money with our foundation, the Iron Foundation. So if anybody's listening that wants to fight back with these things, go to Fight for Michigan. That's Fight the number 4 Michigan.org. There you can find out exactly what's going on, the history of everything. We try to keep the cases up to date in there. If you can donate $25, great. If you are a person that is listening to this and wants to fight against a local development that you know of, there's a form on there that you can fill out that sends it right into my inbox that says, Trucker Randy in Antrim County is trying to fight a battery storage facility that DTE is proposing. Leave a phone number and email. You reach out and just start asking basic questions, like I mentioned.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, we greatly appreciate you standing up for our rights. And basically, I think there needs to be this, not in my backyard, NIMBY. We need to figure out a way, Ian, in my opinion, where if it's done right, like, for example, you know, they have on-site generation of their own electricity. They're not going mm-hmm. to tap into the grid. They're going to actually, any power they generate and don't use, they donate to the grid to lower our electric bills. That's my idea. President Trump is on that line vein of thinking as well. But more importantly, at least put them in a location that makes sense with the overall flow and the master plan of the county. Again, don't Correct. Do ag. Don't do it in agricultural. We've got so many trees that could potentially be changed, altered to for data centers or whatever it is they want to do. Be productive and be a good, solid contributor to the community instead of just raping the land and screwing the people.
Yeah, I think it's a multi-pronged approach, right? I mean, there isn't just one solution. It's going to have to be multi. And,
yes.
You know, that's one of the things I always tell people is I'm not against solar. I'm just against industrial scale solar. Part of one of the solutions, I think, and it's proven to be working in other states, is, you know, if you do want solar, if you do put it on your home, put it on your business.
Sure.
They make it so you can actually generate your own energy, and any excess energy that you're using can be contributed to the grid. And you're making money off yep. of your solar panels on your home or business.
Right.
I think if we do that at scale,
yep.
right, my neighborhood, if half of the houses in my neighborhood had solar on them and they were generating enough for their own and then contributing some back at scale, I think, and then you're taking responsibility for your solar panels on your home. Your liability is with you, whether you choose to do that or not. Just because you cross an imaginary boundary across the roadway, there could be a industrial solar facility there, and then another ice storm, another tornado comes through, and now that ground is ruined with chemicals. So
yeah.
there's a lot of good approaches to it.
We got to figure it out. That's all it is. So again, yep. ironpigsmoke.com. Check it all out there. Order to go, curbside service. And rent the pavilion for your upcoming event. Greatly appreciate you, Ian. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks as always, Trucker Randy.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading news provider, delivering real, honest news to Michiganders statewide.
Good morning. For Michigan News Source, I'm David Barr. The Michigan Attorney General's Office has charged Utica dentist Dr. Fadi Salim with one count of conducting a criminal enterprise and 131 counts of Medicaid fraud. Salim is accused of billing for dental crowns that were unnecessary or never provided. Each count of Medicaid fraud is punishable by up to 4 years in prison. Conducting a criminal enterprise is a 20-year felony. Salim was arraigned on March 19th in East Lansing and granted a $50,000 personal bond. bond. He's scheduled to be back in court next month. Northwest Michigan Works and Wallstrom Marine have partnered to launch the first U.S. Department of Labor registered Marine Services Technician Apprenticeship in Northern Michigan. The program will provide apprentices with 6,000 hours of on-the-job training and 435 hours of technical coursework. Registered apprenticeships are